All right, yeah. Playscapes and the Geography of Embodiment. My dissertation work. Let's see here. I have no disclosures. I guess this was funded by the Ryan Petaway Please Complete Your Dissertation Fund. So that's where the money came from. So a little outline for what I'm going to talk about here. So basically, I'm going to give a brief overview background on place and health, the concept of place and health research, some challenges, gaps, and opportunities. And then I'll introduce kind of a concept I'm trying to develop called the Placescape, and go over some of the conceptual roots and the core tenets. The core tenets are very wordy. I apologize in advance, but I promised in the abstract I submitted that I would touch on the core tenets. I couldn't find a better way. And then I'll give an example of the Placescape in practice. It's based on my dissertation research that's rooted in another concept I'm developing called the People's Social Epidemiology. And so I'll discuss the People's Social Epi Project, go over some of the methods and preliminary findings, and then I will touch on this concept of geographies of embodiment. Okay. I move around sometimes, so it's a little congested. Okay, an overview. As many of you know, place matters for health independently of individual characteristics. So everybody can smoke the same amount, eat the same foods, but based on the built social, physical, environmental characteristics of where you reside, or where you work, where you play, where you learn, those environments have independent, they exert independent effects on your body, on your health. We've seen this for heart disease, diabetes, and various other health outcomes. And this, of course, has implications for policy. We know there are certain aspects of our built social, physical environments, chemical environments, et cetera. And we know this at a local level. There are certain mechanisms, land use, zoning, planning, things of that nature, that then are implicated in modifying those factors. And accordingly, as we would hope, based on those implications, we're seeing a growing movement towards place-based strategies. Nationally, of course, we have HUD. So if you've heard of Promise Neighborhoods or Choice Neighborhoods, Sustainable Communities, even Hope Sticks, Old Public Housing, those are all place-based strategies. The most prominent one is probably the Harlem Children's Zone, if any of you've heard of that. In California, there's California Endowment's Building Healthy Communities Initiative. At another national level, there's the Place Matters Initiative that used to be at the Joint Center for Political Economic Studies. It's now in the National Collaborative for Health Equity. But all that just to say that there's different levels and scales of people focusing on place and place-based strategies. So place is very important, and it's becoming increasingly popular. But some of the gaps that we have. What we're missing really right now is, one, spatially and temporally specific configurations of place exposures and opportunities. Two, perspectives and influences of place across generations and over the life course. For example, trying to elucidate multi-generational effects that we're starting to see more frequently in the literature. And then also opportunities for action. We do a lot of place-based research, but there's not a whole lot of action that comes out of it. So how can we actually do place-based research in a way that involves the people, the ends in the studies, in the process of modifying place? So can a process of place-based research actually be a process of action to modify those place factors? Some of the challenges that kind of lead to these gaps are conceptual. So most place-based research is kind of rooted in imaginary boundaries, imaginary lines, census tracts, zip codes. When they talk about place, they usually only talk about the place of residence. Well, not everybody spends 24 hours a day in their neighborhood of residence. So if you're only assessing an imaginary boundary in a census tract and pretending that they're only in that census tract all day long, then you're not really studying place very well. So that's very isolated, very static. Versus relational, that's just the relational. Relational dynamic notions, that understanding as people move around, we're not going to sit in one place all day long. And we have multiple exposures, and we are exposed to those multiple exposures for varying amounts of time. Methodological challenges we have, we tend to use gross proxies. For example, in place-based studies, instead of actually measuring specific factors, we just say, oh, well, this neighborhood has 40% poverty, and controlling for individual smoking, living in a high-poverty neighborhood exerts an independent effect on risk of heart disease or something, without actually measuring specific factors. It's very bad proxies. They're often cross-sectional, so it's at one time point, and it's almost always exclusively quantitative. And then procedural. Place-based research is almost, I want to say almost exclusively, but it's often very frequently predetermined. I have an interest in this, I'm going to go out and study this. I'm going to do it in a quantitative way, a non-participatory way. I'm only going to work with adults, and if I do something about a life course approach, I'm going to ask adults to recall what they experienced when they were 10, which is very imperfect, and it's usually only a single generation. So with these limitations and challenges and gaps in mind, I start thinking about opportunities, one of which is community-based participatory research, and participatory action research. I won't go into too much detail this. Kind of an example of a community-based, like a CBPR approach, is popular epidemiology. And then also the increasing popularity, prominence, and accessibility of information and communication technologies. thinking about these three fields and what the value add they could have to place-based research and how that could actually improve place research across generations of life force. So, in search of place, the placescape. Okay, so the goal here was to develop a field test to place health framework that, one, could account for the multinodal structure and nature of place and its contingent spatial, temporal, and social interconnections, internodal connections and divisions. So if you're at home and you're at school and you're here and here and here, those are all connected and you're spending varying amounts of time. But there's also some divisions. There's places you don't go for very particular reasons, and there's places you can't get to. So it's about where you can go and where also where you can't go. A framework that elucidates and accounts for potential intergenerational and life space differences and perceptions of place. I think it would be pretty a bad idea to assume that a 45-year-old that feels a certain way about the neighborhood is going to be the same as a 15-year-old's response. And also, I think it would be a pretty bad idea to assume that at 45, if I ask you about how you felt about your neighborhood when you were 15, that that's actually how you felt when you were 15. And also, a framework that explicitly gauges the social and political mechanisms and forces that make place. Oftentimes, we do place-based research, and we start as it is right now, and we don't do a lot of thinking about how that place became to be. What were the policies and the forces? What were segregation policies, housing policies, land use policies? How was that place made? How was it remade? And how is it being unmade, for example, with gentrification? Those are all important structures. If we can't understand those, I would argue that we can't really understand what place is and what it could be. So, conceptual roots, relational and dynamic notions of place, needs-driven place in effective neighborhoods, spatial polygamy. I don't know why I find this a very interesting term, but it's just brilliant in my mind. I'm just like, this makes sense. The idea being that we're spatially polygamous. We're not going to be wedded to one place our entire lives. This is a great concept. Thank you. Action space from the field of geography, eco-social theory from social epidemiology, circuits and consequences of dispossession. This is from critical capitalist theory and critical education theory, and then biopower from Foucault. So those are kind of the roots. Based on those roots, the framework basically that I would propose, I would submit, I guess, preliminarily, some core tenets. The residents are no longer viewed as agency-less entities with a fixed area, but as actors with variant mobility patterns over time. This is very common sense, but this has not translated into place-based research that does this. Not a lot. There's actually examples. Some of the references I have, spatial polygamy, that guy does really good work on this actually. Each resident has a unique set of needs that they will need to meet in a particular way. Thus, any notion of place has to be able to account for that. Place is no longer a singular location, but a configuration of nodes and internodal connections and divisions. And those nodes will change over the life course, of course. These configurations of nodes are both circuits and consequences of historical and pervading power relations. So when I say that, what I'm thinking about is that we have to think about who is responsible for shaping place as it is. And what are the resources and opportunity structures, restrictions and opportunities that are responsible for maintaining it, remaking it, unmaking it, and creating some of these place-based health exposures and risks. And then also within that context, considering everybody to have certain set of knowledge, skills, and expertise, power, and agency, the expression of those things is either responsible for maintaining things or improving things. Five, places both made and remade, consumed and produced, and includes and excludes. And at the end, basically, if we're trying to understand place effects on health, it's best seen as, best viewed as the product of these space-time specific configurations within the context of these power dynamics and relations and historical context. So, having said all that, what would hypothetically, I guess not hypothetically anymore because I did it, but what does the placescape look like in practice? So this takes me to the People Social Epi Project. And a little overview, it's a community-based participatory research study of health, place and health with residents of public housing. So I grew up in public housing, and I decided, hey, I like place and health, and I'm also interested in community development and place making and place unmaking, place breaking, all these other things that you could call it. So why don't I go back home to the projects I grew up in and do a study on this in a very participatory way, kind of like taking a People Social Epi approach and study place. I worked with parent and youth dyads, so at least one adult and at least one teenage child. And the youth had to be living with the parent. And in terms of inclusion and exclusion, the child had to be enrolled in school because place is an important part for youth, or school is an important place for youth. And then the parents had to be either working or doing something in the daytime, like errands, doing a friend's hair, babysitting, something of that nature, because that type of work and that time frame is a very important thing. So that's one of those notes that's critically important to understand. So the aims were to determine the time and location-specific health-related place-based exposures within five general domains: home, neighborhood, in parentheses or quotations. I always confuse that. I don't know why. Quotations. Work and errand for the parent, school for the youth, leisure, social, and transition. Transition would be like the routes going to and from, whether it's the bus, whether it's walking, and the things you experience while you're transitioning from place to place. Leisure, social, things like a friend's house, going to the park, church, things of that nature. Once I have the time and location-specific places and exposures, have the participants in a participatory fashion characterize their perceptions of how they think those places affect their health and affect their bodies, and then do a spatial temporal assessment of the youth versus adult comparison. Methods, a lot of training. Again, it's a participatory action research project, and I wanted this to be a very collaborative process. I wanted to make sure that it wasn't just outsider expertise coming in, because even though I lived there, I kind of knew some of the things. It's been like 10 years since I was there, like every day. And so I wanted to make sure that I brought in some knowledge and skills that they were able to share back. And so there's a lot of training and discussion going on. Photo voice, activity space mapping, and x-ray mapping. And I'll describe each of these briefly here. And participatory GIS using a web-based platform called LocalGram. So the process for photo voice, the methodology entails taking pictures on a critical theme, writing a narrative, and participatory coding and analyzing the photo and the narrative for it. So they first took a picture of a place that they go to and took a picture of something in that place that's important for photo voice. For activity space mapping, they geolocate that place on a map by hand at first, and then eventually on the website. And then after the photo, they also were able to geolocate other places that they go that they thought were important and affected their bodies that they hadn't had a chance to take a picture of. And then for each of those photo locations, they completed what's called an x-ray map, which is a cognitive methodology for kind of getting at subjective notions of embodiment. So instead of taking cortisol levels, interleukin 6 and cytokines and things of that nature, blood draws, they just describe subjectively how they think a place is affecting their bodies. And once all the information is ready, they log on, create a password, create an account for this platform called Local Ground, and they upload their data. So you upload your picture, and you can drag and drop it to the location that it's at, and you upload your narrative text for the picture, and then you also upload your x-ray body map. Basically, what this amounts to is effectively kind of a crowdsourcing approach to neighborhoods and places, kind of like Yelp. You guys have heard of Yelp, yeah? It's kind of like a way to go around with your smartphone. This is all done on smartphones. Pictures done on smartphones, bring it back, and just upload it to the computer for this. So, some preliminary findings, and I'll go through these quickly, and definitely we'll open this discuss later. The colors indicate the place domain. At the top, there's home, and then neighborhood, work and errand, leisure, social, and then transition into orange. The next column over, average place time, is the amount of time the average adult spent in that domain. And at the far right column, place grade, which is the overall grade that they would assign that place in terms of how it affects their body and their health. And the youth ones at the bottom, you can see that the parents overall assess their total place, that connection of nose and stuff, as a D+, and the youth as a C-. And this was based on, when they did activity space mapping, the participants expressed a desire to do star ratings for it, and eventually they decided that it was called place score originally, and then they decided they wanted to rename it place grade, so I had to figure out a way to turn like 5-star rating into like a 5-point GPA scale, which I wasn't familiar with. It took me a while actually, and we just had this discussion on Tuesday, and so I was like, oh no, I have it. So, but anyway, but it worked out though, and actually I think it sounds better, place grade versus place score, so yeah. Okay, so the playscapes. So we decided to create little infographics to demonstrate what the playscape would look like in terms of, you know, this is my place. So the portion of the top left is place pics. We decided to call it place pics. These represent where the photos were taken. Again, green is home. The tealish color is neighborhood. Purple would be either a home or a school or work. The gray is the transit or the social leisure spaces, and then orange is transition. The next graphic over is place time, just a representation of where they actually spent their place. So you can kind of see that even though they spent most of their time at home, they took most of their pictures in the neighborhood. So I thought that was interesting. The portion of that is the geography embodiment representation. It just shows the correlation between the place domains and then the parts of the body that they identified as being affected by that place. And the size of a circle represents the number of times that place, that body part, was identified. The bottom up, there's a thing called place thoughts. This is a result from the participatory coding analysis that the youth did. And basically, just took the themes and put them in this platform on, it's called Wordle. Anybody heard of Wordle? You just kind of, it's like a word cloud thing. Drop it in there. They thought that was cool, so that's what that is. And then on the bottom right is their place grade. And you can see it's C minus for the youth and a D plus. So just on the top of that, youth parents in the same neighborhood having a lot of the same experiences, completely different grades and perceptions on a lot of these things. So that's kind of like the preliminary place that I'm at right now.
You're over a little bit. If you just want one more minute to wrap up.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
That's good. So this right here is the GI physiognomy kind of visually played out. That black line is the census tract. Does anybody in the room know their census tract? I just thought I'd ask that. Anyone?
Yeah.
So basically, this is based on most place health research. This is where their place is in that black line, within that black boundary. But you can see they have a lot of things going on outside of that black boundary. And if you can also see, the red ones represent the negative body effects, the green ones positive body effects, and the yellow ones the ones that they identify, both positive and negative. The positive places are disproportionately outside their neighborhood. So for me, I thought this was important to think about as we go forward and think about how to best do place across place research with multiple generations, having youth and adults, and then also broadening the boundary of what we consider place. So this idea of multiple nodes, so we can actually capture the perceptions and effects of the body on those things. So yeah, I'll just leave it at that.
Okay, great, thanks. And we'll have time after for questions and then.